Psalm 51 is the psalm we always sing for Ash Wednesday. It's a psalm of repentance, and it's a prayer. I look at Psalm 51 as a prayer in three parts. Part one is asking God to take action because I have sinned. The prayer asks God to blot out my sins and then wash me and cleanse me. This is a prayer asking God to remove my sins. The blotting out and the washing part appear twice in the psalm. Part two of Psalm 51 is a prayer asking God to do something after God forgives. It's a prayer asking God to create within me a clean heart, to renew a right spirit within me. The psalm is a prayer asking that God would restore joy, because God knows sin destroys joy within. The psalm then asks that God sustain me with God's own spirit. Sustain the joy, Lord. Keep the God connection alive. There's a third prayer in Psalm 51. After the forgiveness and the request for renewal, the prayer asks God, open my lips that my mouth shall proclaim your praise. This is a summary of our life as believers, really, as disciples of Jesus. In our sin, we turn to God. We ask for forgiveness. We ask for renewal. And then we praise God. And we know full well that the way we praise God is not only with our lips and our mouths, but as we heard St. Paul teach us tonight, we praise God with patience, with kindness, with holiness of spirits, with genuine love, with truthful speech. And we know full well the words of Jesus, that we praise God by feeding the hungry, welcoming the stranger, taking care of the sick and those in prison. And we also know that Jesus asks us to do all this without a judgmental spirit. Psalm 51 on Ash Wednesday reminds us that if sin was our way of life, or has been our way of life even for a short while, praising and serving God is our new way of life. In my wanderings to prepare for this year's Ash Wednesday sermon, I read a lot about ashes. Ashes today are a reminder that physical death is part of life. I spoke of that when I put the ashes on your forehead, our mortal death. But our faith brings us beyond physical death. We believe that by the cross and resurrection of Jesus, we can be eternally renewed. That's way beyond physical death. Eternally renewed. Ashes are a reminder that sin can cause spiritual death. But our faith tells us that Jesus died for the forgiveness of sins. Spiritual death, we believe, is not an ending. When we die to our sins, that's a beginning. We travel from spiritual death to new life, and ultimately to eternal life. A year ago, we celebrated Ash Wednesday on March 5th. Then we traveled through Lent to Easter, and we celebrated Easter, and then we came to Pentecost Sunday, the day that God sent the Holy Spirit to empower and send the church out into the world. And then we spent the next several months talking about what it means to be the church, disciples in the world. And then we cycled into Advent, Christmas, birth of Jesus, into Epiphany, where the Magi followed that star, the season of light, and then the Transfiguration, where we see Jesus on a mountaintop in all his resurrection glory. And here we are again at Ash Wednesday, ready to begin the cycle. We'll come to another Ash Wednesday on February 10th next year. It'll be early again. And the next cycle after that will be a little later. And we continue this cycle year after year after year. And as believers, we believe that our lives are a cycle where we remember what God has done for us. As we look at the past year, we can look back and we can say, oh yeah, God has done much for us. And as we look at the next year and the next year and the next year after that, we look at those years with hope. We have hope and a prayer. And a good prayer, actually, for the whole year might be Psalm 51. God will forgive us. As we move forward into our future, God will renew us. God will open our hearts and our minds to praise and to serve. Now, I said a bit ago that in my wanderings to prepare for this year's Ash Wednesday sermon, I read a lot about ashes. The favorite sermon I found is a recent sermon a couple years ago by a Lutheran pastor. The sermon was titled, "Why We Don't Do Ashes on Ash Wednesday." The entire sermon was in opposition to the practice of the ashes that we just celebrated tonight. Now, I certainly don't believe that we're required to use ashes on Ash Wednesday. It's not a have to, but I obviously appreciate the spiritual discipline and the practice that we just went through. And I respect those who don't want to do it. That's fine. Now, in the sermon, as I was reading through it, I stopped cold about halfway. This is what the pastor wrote, and I quote, "Why don't we do ashes on Ash Wednesday? Because the church is supposed to be an embassy of good news, a place where sinners can die a blessed death and live forever." I loved that explanation, but I simply would change the question to, why do we do ashes on Ash Wednesday? The pastor actually gave the answer to why we do ashes. It's all about the good news. Ashes, the ashes on our foreheads tonight, are good news. Let me repeat that. The ashes tonight are good news. They're a reminder that even as sinners, even as humans who will die, we will live forever. That's what that cross on our forehead means. Eternal life. We wear these ashes not to show off, but as a proclamation of God's good news of the gift of eternal life. The pastor also wrote this: "We face death all day long. We know that. We feel it. You don't need to be told it." Now, I respectfully disagree. I think we do need to be reminded of our death. We don't do well when we avoid the topic or pretend that death doesn't exist for us. I've told you this little story a couple times since I've been pastoring here at St. John's, and I can promise you I'll probably tell it a few more times over the years. Simple story. A Sunday school teacher asked the class, "What do you have to do to go to heaven?" And one enthusiastic child answers, "You have to die." There's truth there. Being reminded of death isn't a bad thing. Remember, the ashes are on our foreheads in the sign of a cross. Jesus died on the cross before he was raised. We don't avoid the suffering and the death of Jesus. We focus on it during Lent. And we don't avoid the truth of our personal death, because the gift given to us in that moment is eternal life. Ash Wednesday and Lent combine two stories into one story. Our journey from birth to mortal death to eternal life is joined to the journey of Jesus, his birth, to his mortal death, to his resurrection. This is one story. That's what we mean when we say we're walking with the Lord. We are walking in the Lord's story from birth to mortal death to resurrection. There's a contemporary song by Kip Fox titled "This Dust." It begins with the reminder, reminded me of Psalm 51 right away. "Lord, have mercy on me." It's the way the song begins. It ends with a wonderful lyric. "Death is all around. Death is all around us. We are not afraid. Written is the story. Empty is the grave." Death is all around us. We are not afraid. Written is the story. Empty is the grave. It's first sung in a mellow tone, and then is sung two more times with strength and conviction. Empty is the grave. There is resurrection. And so Ash Wednesday and the ashes are good news. They're the good news of the resurrection. These ashes on our foreheads tonight are the good news of eternal life. One final thing from the pastor opposed to ashes. Near the end of the sermon, he wrote, "Christ Jesus has washed away the dirt of your death in your baptism." That's a true statement, and I like it. But it brings me to a suggestion for you tonight. When you wash the ashes off your forehead tonight, and it won't be real easy. I still have ashes I have to clean up with soap before communion. They're pretty strong ashes. When you wash them and say a favorite phrase of Martin Luther, "I am baptized." That's the washing away of our sin. Make the washing tonight a ritual. As you wash your face tonight, wash with the words, "I am baptized." And remember, remember that you are walking daily with the Lord. Let us pray. Bring to your mind your whole life's journey, past, present, and whatever lies ahead. And bring to your mind the journey of those you love. With this in mind, listen to the voice of God. "I will forgive you, my child. I will restore you. I will renew you. I will love you, my child, always. I will love you, my child, for all eternity." Thus says the Lord.